Farmers and the farm workers, and I think it needs to be responded to. If you have someone that worked for you for so long and you deport him or her without any salary, what do you expect in return? And Chairperson, the other part of it is that our economy, especially in Limpopo, our economy, you know, illegal agriculture. So if the relationship is not a good one, we're going nowhere, because we've got to address the element of humanism. My colleague has already said it, but you know, we in this situation, we're brought in ideologies of the past that, you know, are not doing any good to us. For instance, you know, farm workers are still treated as the raw material for white commercial farmers. That's how they are treated. So I think this needs to be addressed. And then lastly, on legal services, this is a question now I was just commenting. On legal services, Honorable Chairperson, the department is saying that it has to bring up a legal service panel. One would like to know as to, and that this panel is going to start functioning in June. Is it going to function retrospectively? Because definitely there are cases that are a sore in our hearts. Is it going to address some of the cases, you know? Lady already sitting there and deck. Bana ba ilong horo ba khatile ka dikoloi, mitholo ka moka ye itirogala. Ke a leboga modulasetulo.
Nko. Honorable Ditelo. Thank you, Chair. May I also thank the presenters for the effort they have made in bringing some few facts to light. I would like to start off by making or following a statement which was made by Teresa to the effect that they do not have the capacity to help in dealing or in solving the eviction cases. This is not really part of their responsibility. This is the responsibility of the department and us as a government. And I feel sorry for them that during their voluntary service they found themselves involved in this. I am not trying to pinpoint the blame on one side, because we as parliamentarians have the right, have an oversight right to go about and identify problems, and not only identify problems but to solicit solution to such problems. And so far we have failed. The first presenters here, they have had problems in Limpopo, which should have really been ironed out long time ago, and this was not done. I say we are partly to blame on that particular issue as well. Coming back to Tau has made a statement which stands, I think, to the effect that the farmers are being abused by being asked or expected to provide housing where all other institutions are not subjected to the same regulation. Why? The question is, why should that happen? Now, we've got to be in a position to unbundle the legislation that we promulgate in the parliament here. It is of no use to send legislations out when we cannot implement them effectively and properly, so that they have meaning to the situation in which they have been meant for. To the department, really, our Department of Land Affairs in and also agriculture, they have also let us down as members of this portfolio committee. Because of their inefficiency with regards to the implementation of legislation. The promise that they have made here this morning, I think it's not a new thing, like my colleagues have already reiterated. There is one thing that I would like to end up with, and that is from NAFU. NAFU has suggested that we have a summit of all farmers' unions to come and iron out or attempt to iron out the problem that confronts us as farmers, all of us. Until such time that we sit around the same table and look face to face to the problems that are confronting us in South Africa, the problems will continue and it will be perpetuated. I agree with NAFU that we need this type of summit where we can see if we cannot come together and form a very strong union, a South African union, not splinter groups. There are some of you, unions, who are doing a remarkable work for us,
but it's been that point has arrived.
Thank you, Chair.
thanks, colleagues. DG, in your presentation, there is this reference to the Legal Service Panel, which is intended to provide legal services to the possible victims of eviction. Now, my problem here, DG, is that this intervention amounts really to a profound failure of service to our people. ESTA has been passed a long time ago. You have been taken to court in 2001, and there's a court judgment that indicates that it is the duty and the role of the state to provide legal services to the farm workers who face possible evictions. And it's only now that we say by June a legal service panel will be in operation. It amounts to a profound failure of service to our people, and, you know, a disrespect of the court judgment itself. The second thing is that in relation to that, if we can just, you know, indicate what sort of budgetary commitments are we looking at, you know, to provide this kind of service, because we can't pass an act and our people cannot access the rights that are arising out of those acts and rely on NGOs, you know, to act on behalf of our people, and yet we've got government for which every year we appropriate money. The second thing is that particularly to the unions, let me clear this point that the fight against farm evictions is not a fight against farmers. And in fact, farmers should be partners in the fight against evictions, particularly illegal evictions, then I think it is important for yourselves and your members to consider themselves and yourselves as partners against these illegal evictions. It will be quite useful for us to hear you talking, exposing those farmers that, you know, conduct illegal evictions. It will be quite important for us to read and hear about you condemning those farmers and those of your members who are involved in illegal evictions. The issue, this is not the only problem that the farm workers face on their farms. All the time, you read in the papers, a person is dragged behind the buggy. Mm. Not even a single farmers union pronounces itself. It's a non-event. People are mistaken for dogs or baboons. They are shot at. Nobody says a thing about it. It's a non-event. And I'm saying that, therefore, you should consider yourselves as partners. And therefore, the fight against farm evictions and all other human rights abuses on the farms, this is not a fight against farmers themselves. So, you've got to be partners in that regard. The department, if we can talk to the issue of policy around evictions, because there is this point about the moratorium on evictions, and I think we need clarity in terms of what your attitude towards that. You know, the point of view of AgriSA, this would amount to the unconstitutional and all of that. What's your attitude to that particular question? And this issue of non-evictable occupants of land on the farms, if we can just reflect on that as well. Thanks to Guzi and many other members in welcoming your presentation. But I'm a little bit curious as to what's your experience with regard to the black farmers in relation to evictions. Honorable Biku is referred to as one of them. How many is evicted on this farm? So, if we can just fill up that gap as well. The issue of statistics. I wouldn't want to talk about many scale, but really. The issue is that I don't think it's an exercise in futility, really, to be fighting about statistics. For me, any illegal eviction is one too many. It doesn't matter whether we talk about 1 million people or 1,000 people or 3 people. The fact of the matter is that we're talking about human beings who've got blood running through their veins like they do in our bodies as well. And therefore, those must be condemned and be dealt with. That to be held hostage in arguing about statistics. So I'm saying that it's a matter of exercising in futility. Because you see, when you listen to Mam Ledwala, no? Ledwala. You then ask yourself whether from the point of view of farmers, when we look at the farm workers themselves, do we see human beings really? Do we see human beings? If it's human beings, do we consider themselves as also equally created by the Almighty as we have been created. Because see, the situation that she describes, you know, it's like listening to a slave. It's like listening to a slave speaking. So I'm saying, do we regard these farm workers as human beings? Honorable Postman, the report that the CCMA has published, I think we'll have interest in looking at that. Oh, we've got a copy. Thank you very much. What makes me curious, though, is that you say in the report, it's indicated that with regard to the agricultural sector, there has been a decline in terms of confidence. Now, here you've got Malibuang, who the same CCMA you're talking about, after more than 30 years of service and working on the farm, in fact, after 30 years of slavery on the farm, it says she must get 600 rand. So I'm saying, colleagues, really, this is a matter that we ourselves will have to deal with. Our people around there, oh, even those institutions that we have created to protect and defend them, profound failure. Now, I'm saying, therefore, that this matter, comrades and colleagues, we'll have to take it quite seriously. And I think that we've got to develop a report on this matter, and Parliament will have to adopt it so that there's some action on certain decisions that Parliament will have to take. So I would give, I'm not sure who starts. Let me start with, as we have started, let me start with Nguzi. And that way, for all your sins, you've got to be the first.
Thank you, Chair. I see we had very few questions from the floor, and so I won't take a lot of time, but I think I must just respond a bit to some of the criticisms from AgriSA on the findings from the survey, the criticisms that we've heard in the past. And one thing I should have noted in my presentation was that AgriSA was a part of the reference group for this study from the beginning, and they were involved in the design of the methodology. In fact, if those of you who have the book on the report of the findings will note that there's a section called Farmers' Perspective. That section rose out of concerns raised by AgriSA during the initial discussions of the design. They suggested that we go back to areas where there were large numbers of evictions and talk to the farmers themselves to find out what their perspectives on why evictions were happening could be put into the report. And we did that, and I think that it added value to the study. Secondly, just to note that in terms of the age of the statistics, the census data comes out every 5 years. The last agricultural census was, I believe, in 2002. AgriSA consistently cites Statistics South Africa data from those studies, and no one raises issues around the age of that of those statistics. But now we 2 years out the box with this eviction survey findings, and as has been noted here, because there's really no other criticism that can be lodged against the findings, because from the beginning AgriSA acknowledged that the methodology was sound. We had senior statisticians from University of Pretoria as well as Wits University look at the methodology and look at the findings and go through the analysis of the data, and both of those statisticians found that the methodology as well as the analysis were sound and that the findings were accurate. So again, just to, and I hate to sound defensive around findings from our study, but we don't want people to leave here with the impression that somehow the stats are wrong. And I do believe, Chair, that we can get bogged down in discussions over numbers, but these numbers are quite serious. And you're right, if it's one or 1,000, it's a serious problem. But a million since 1994 is a real crisis that that calls for urgent action. And then just to note, there was one issue raised around our suggestion that there be creations of sustainable settlements within commercial farming areas. And from our side, that is not a call to move people to former bantustans or townships. We have noted again and again and again that the problem with evictions and the settlement patterns after evictions follows the old apartheid spatial planning settlements, and we think that that is wrong. And that's why we say that viable settlements must be created within commercial farming areas so that people are not trucked from long distances in overcrowded vehicles to come to work. Where that, where those settlements can be created, where there are already existing communities of farm dwellers on farms, and those can be upgraded, we think that that is the best scenario that should be followed. But sometimes people may, it may be most prudent to set up settlements, to develop settlements that are close by to and right within commercial farming areas. So it's not, we don't call for a movement of people off of farms where they've lived and settled for many years. But we recognize also that there is, there are people who are seasonal workers or temporary workers, as we've heard from the agricultural union, who need secure homes and who need to be close to their places of employment. So what the bottom line to all of that is that farm dwellers, just as everybody else in South Africa, should have very real and viable options in terms of what types of settlements they will live in. Where those options, where it's most just that those options be that they remain on the farm where they live and work, then those options should be made available to them, and we think that it's possible through Section 4 to make that happen. And in terms of what is our experience with black farmers, I think perhaps maybe I'll let that go.
Don't be afraid of him.
I'm not afraid of him. Just to say, we don't have a lot of experience with black farmers.
But not his farming.
Yes. Because still in Limpopo province, the majority of the land is held by white landowners. But we have had instances of some black farmers telling us that the new laws of this state do not apply to them. So we have had a few, not a lot, but we have had some cases where we go to farms where there's a reported problems with the landowner, and those landowners are black landowners who will argue with us that ESTA is for the white landowners and not for the black landowners. But obviously we treat them the same way that we treat any farm owner who's abusing their workers. And then there was a question for Hans around what police station and which DLA office he sought assistance from, and what was the response. So he'll respond to that.
Thank you. Just a police station, Tolve. I went to Tolve police station to report this incident. So, go na le motho mo jo bile a ja go fing go rena kwa ya Maseng. A commercial farmer in which farm will reside literally took off the roof of the building which I and perhaps 15 other families occupy.
Our jaldi ne te cha rena ndani ano ra ga mabati a tere ndani isira kwa.
On the day in which I removed the roof, it just came in the morning. I broke the door, armed with a camera, and started shooting photos of naked family, of family members sleeping, actually.
So, only I was like, I'm a police.
I called the police immediately after I left, and they didn't come.
So, the police said,
That's how I actually get hold of the Nkuzi of Nkuzi people.
And then before you come on, Balenda says, and then so Balenda says, by a whole
But before then, I actually called the Department of Land Affairs, who sent officials. But these officials, on arrival, instead of consulting with us, they went straight to Mr. Kubo's father, and that is the commercial farmer.
So if you look at the land affairs, we have a lot of problems. We have a lot of problems. And I know.
After I explained to the officials from the Department of Land Affairs about how this guy removed the roof, broke into our house and started taking photos, and that he actually denied us access to, to water, this guy advised us to just take our graves. The graves of our ancestors, and go and live somewhere.
So Ulega Atamaya Aranarne Kawaksa Gugu Spansade.
And now he said, no, let me go and see the farmer, I'll come back.
So Ula Wapa Ampaji Karanarne Utuwakadi Leve Ratamaria Court.
And then he, when he came back, he indicated that on the 11th of the same month we will be going to court on the issue.
So Ulega Jileva Court, Akumalorne.
On the court day, the landowner came with two of his employees.
And then there another landowner says, Mr. Muloy, I think so.
From the Department of Land Affairs, whose name has escaped my memory.
And then
one of the people who came was a policeman.
And then another kilowatt.
I was alone.
So what they were
representative of the farming, of farm workers and farm dwellers.
But they were Kisela Rotomot and Shako from Nagahan.
And when before the court proceedings resumed, I actually refused as I was alone.
Saranavarna, Wauga no Sarakotovarna, that Sarakotovilit is Chabasaka to say.
I said we cannot begin this court proceedings in the absence of many of the people who are, who have been affected by this very matter.
Right.
What he was saying is that instead of him alone being there, let there be other people so that they could corroborate his evidence.
So, Jiranaga Bushari, Bamku Silva LPM, Valent People's Movement, Bayeka Babu Silengar, Valemon Navarre, Kalevan recruited.
At the time, I was aware that officials from Kuzi were on their way to the farm.
So relentless le motseleng ba founa ba nkuzi ba rena le mana motseleng ri. So re re tsena ba motseleng ra thoma ra boela mora ra police station. Le bona ba nkuzi le ba LPM. So ke le tle le gore o bushi ba nkuzi ba khonno motho gore a bushe metsi, a bushe le di photo jela. And then a bushe le rufi.
Yeah, subsequently a meeting was held where the Kuzi Development Association asked the landowner to restore the roof that he actually took off, and also the water service will actually restore a water supply. Subsequent to that, the only thing that the farmer ever did was to restore the roof, but not to a satisfactory condition, but with water and the photos. Up to this day, that hasn't been restored.
And the follow is around a good one, Sade. That is the Naji, Unal Kinsi, the Anapazel Chamber. So,
you're talking about Mr. Kubo's Sade, in whose farm I reside, who has other cases, including some of them, including people who work for him.
So, Nguzi, the LPM, which one I don't know, to Shadi Plaza, J. Lore, Kinandese, Chico Pimpani. Ke swara koma le ngwa go tloveng so ke bona ba khone o di thusha gore la nne le batho ba bona ba sa dula la nne
the only reason we are still able to stay on the farm.
Yeah, if we can just re ka no re ka bo kopana nyana re feletse wa araba pushuwe ba khone o tsaba bangwe monyata
go police station ke skarna seng wa di tshi so ke feletse ke ba tlile go so ba khona ba etla if no ba tlile a go neile.
Yeah, and also the politician, they refused to take our case actually, and now I had to next to that is all the politician. That is in the Impala Islamic, it's Lipalas. Yeah, in the
Lipalas.
But no, it's not, it's in Lopez. Yeah,
Lipalas.
Yeah, it's in the Lipala, in the Lipala area he went to, and he didn't make one.
Lipala area again is Rasiakhan.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Another solving in Lipala. So Marwa, under Lipala.
So it's all the police in Analipalale, where it was he himself went there to report cases earlier. It was as a leader of the community, has accompanied other members of the community to report injustice against farmers, but nothing has actually happened. And perhaps if the chairperson allow me, let me also add that I personally have taken several people to report this kind of cases in police station. The worst case was when I reported the case of Mr. Namaki. I had a court order. The court has actually ordered that the woman who was blind and old and sick was supposed to stay on the farm, actually, in terms of that court order. I went to the police station, and what I got actually was a threat. It was a jail. I'm putting my life in danger. But that's not the only police station. I went to Tanin police station to report three cases, and in this case I was told who sent what is and take the right building. No, you don't have a case at all. I went to Mablu Hall police station. In fact, I can mention lots of police stations that I went to, and the one common the common factor here is that no action was taken, and the case was not taken seriously.
No, I think the point is clear. The police are failing us, the courts are failing us, the CMA is failing us and so on.
Just in a second. She also went, I also took her to Pulwan police station on several occasions, and in order to try and get a case for legal eviction here in court. And nothing has happened. Even after Nguzi, our legal unit has actually promised to conduct a private prosecution. Miss Kwan as well.
Okay. Thanks for that. Agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you can hear me. Thank you, sir. I'll be trying and be brief on the questions. I think first of all, the impression that I get is that before I answer the questions, is that the farmers are actually put in a acquisition box, that everybody is pointing fingers to the farmers and actions that the farmers did. I would like to stress right from the outset, and I put it in my paper as well, that obviously there are exceptions. Now, and somebody said it, not all farmers are acting in terms and in the spirit of cooperation. And I think we must accept that people will go out of line. But there is a system then to bring them to book. And I'll come back to that now. But on the other hand, I must also stress that all farm workers and farm dwellers are also not angels. We experience tremendous problems on the ground. It's not been said here today, and we haven't tried to come here with negative stories, because I think that will just hamper the whole spirit of this investigation. But our serious crime in the rural areas is absolutely out of hand. And it is because, and I've alluded also to it, that people are on land and private property, sometimes illegally. But there's no control. The SAPS and a lot of arguments around the SAPS and acquisitions against them, but I think what you should do is also call them, because they're not here to defend themselves. Call them to come and testify on the cases which has been brought now to the attention. But I agree, and I think I want to just say that one mustn't think that, and I get the impression that we are put into the box, but there on the other hand, we can bring just as many cases that farm workers and farm dwellers are also trespassing. But I don't want to go that way. And that is why I try to be positive. I want to get solutions on the ground, and I want to work together with government to get the solutions that is sustainable in the short as well as in the long term. And that is the whole attitude of AgriSA is that we want to get sustainable solutions to the problems. Mrs. Natuli has alluded to my page 4 on the stats on evictions. Again, I think to argue around the stats at the moment is, you said it, I agree with you, it's actually irrelevant, really. Because I agree with you, if people are illegally evicted, one illegal eviction is too many. I fully, wholeheartedly support you on that. But what I've done is just to put, every time we come here with statistics, and it is questionable. It is not verified stats which we come here with. And that is my plea. Let us get proper statistics which is verifiable and has been gone through the test proof. The argument with Nkosi, I don't want to pursue because I think it is irrelevant at this stage, but I just want to say, she brings the argument that we are also looking at stats figures of 2002. I did it with a specific reason, because their stats has run up to 2002. But we've got statistics for the last 3-4 months, up to the last 3-4 months, continuous agricultural statistics. Not on evictions, because that's not our job. Evictions gets reported to the Department of Land Affairs. Legal evictions is reported through the legal system, and we have the figures. Anybody can go and find those figures from the legal system. It's reported in provincial areas and as well as court areas. So that is available, and I think Minister Dowry also alluded to it in the Western Cape. What are the real effects of legal evictions? And we've got the statistics. But I don't want to go that way because I think that confuses the issue. And I really would like to stress that I am still in favor. If we are talking of figures, let us get real, independent, reliable research on the subject. And my plea is, and I've also said it in the Human Rights Commission, my plea is to measure the process. There's no way that we're measuring the process at the moment because we're talking of stats in a broad sense and not comparing one year after the other. What I have alluded to in the question of the other person on page 4 is that I've said that Limpopo, Northern Cape, West, Northwest and Mpumalanga, no reported cases. I didn't say it. I said that was the report of the Minister of Agriculture and Land Affairs. Here's the report, the question that was put to her in Parliament. Two questions put to her. One in 9 February 2007, and she's given us the figures of all the provinces since 2002, running up to 2006. The following question was on the 16th of November in 2007, and you can go look it up in ANSAT. And you can go to the last page of that report. And it is her report, it's not my report, no illegal evictions in Eastern Province, Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, and Northwest Province. And here it is in writing. This is what I reported on. The reason why I reported is that even in this in these two questions that was asked in Parliament, there are conflicting figures given us. So we haven't got real stats. Let's face it, and that is my point. Even the minister hasn't got the real stats. So I think I take note of that. The other point that was made by Barbara, give farm workers farms, and I think that is part of our solution. I think there are three options that we have at the moment on the table, and let us pursue those options. That is one, give persons who want to move closer to towns and cities with the infrastructure, give them, make land plots available in municipalities. And I've got examples, and I discussed it with CBCC as well as with the minister, that eviction orders that have gone through a legal process up to the Land Claims Court do not provide for alternate accommodation or a stand to go on. So what does the sheriff do? The sheriff just goes and takes those people from the land and they put them next to the road. And I object profusely against it because that image is the image of the farmer. But it was not the action of the farmer. It was the action of the legal process that is not complying to what we think it should do. So and we've taken it up, and Civil Season knows that we want to get a settlement as far as that is concerned, and maybe also instruct the legal process and courts to make sure that there is alternate accommodation when eviction orders take place. I think farm workers, obviously, the second choice was to have agri-villages where they can be serviced by municipalities, because you must remember all land is now under a municipality. If their services are to be supplied, water, sewerage, roads, electricity, it is the municipality's job to do that in an agri-village. And I think to make it feasible and viable, you cannot have people living hundreds of miles from each other and then expect that services like water and electricity must be supplied to those places. It is just impractical. So that is the second choice. The third choice, obviously, for people who have knowledge of farming, to give them farms. And we are supporting of it. And I think we've also, somebody asked, what are we doing about it? You know, we've gone to the presidential working group a couple of months ago with only one of the estate agents that work for one of my affiliates, the agricultural business in the business chamber. They supplied the department, and the department is here, with just on 5 million hectares of land available in the open market to be bought, and we've presented them with the details of those markets. So the availability is there. It's not a case that it is not there, but there must be a system put into place to acquire those funds. And there must be a system in place to support the people, a selection criteria. And I think I'll ask Theo just to expand on it. But there was another question about what do we do to make the land available, and what do we do to also support these people. And I think Mr. Dlali must come in, or actually it was Mr. Akers, he must join some of our affiliates, which he produces maybe corn or wheat or whatever the case may be, and he's most probably also farming with sheep.
He's a member.
I want him to become a member, then he will know what we do. Then he will know what we do. The National Wool Growers Association supports farmers in the Eastern Cape and all over the country with... You're welcome. Support these people. We've got training courses. We've got support systems. We've got shearing sheds in those areas. That is just one example. If we go to Grain South Africa, we go to Cotton South Africa, to any of our affiliates, the commodity groups, they've all got people in the field to support these new farmers. Grain South Africa has got extension offices in 5 provinces of South Africa, where they go to the ground, have working groups to support those people. And if they have any problems, that guy is supposed to come and sort it out. Right from the planting, right through the growing process, to the end product to market it. So we've got that support. We've got that support. And we want to, and we've actually gone in our last Congress, make sure that in the local forums, we will be there. We will identify mentors to help those people in all areas. And we are working at this stage already in some provinces together to do just that. So I'm just surprised that people do not know what the organized agriculture is doing to support people. Pardon?
Response through me to any of the questions. No, you have to answer those questions that have been asked through me.
Okay.
Yes.
But the question was by Mr. Abrams, and I just answered him.
Yes.
That was his question. Support, the new entrance, selection criteria, and all those issues that I've just alluded to. ESTA discriminates against the farmers. What I said in our argument is that ESTA, it's not a fair universal act. It doesn't apply to everybody. It is discriminating against the farming community because it only applies to the farming community. What about the other sectors of the economy that also supply housing? Why doesn't it apply to them as well? The mining groups, all other people working with a huge lot of workers, they also supply houses. What about the departments? What about national departments? Do you not get a house or a house subsidy? In the end, when you move out, that is taken away. So it's a universal thing. But why must the farming community be excluded from that universal criteria? Illegal, Vicky asked, now where is my first paper? I think I've gone to the last paper. No, it's Vicky was on that paper. Vicky, illegal evictions have SA members who evict, and what do we do? Obviously, people, as I told you in the beginning, there are exceptions. We're not a policing organization, but there is a policing system that is in place. When it is brought to our attention that people have acted outside the criteria, we take away their membership. And I can quote you every Western state who has done that in a couple of times now in the past couple of months, that they've taken away membership from people who acted outside our criteria of human relations. So we do something about it. Pension packages for the old. I think that is surely an optional thing in all economic activities. When people want to contribute to pension funds, Yanni Drew is here from also from the employers organization, agricultural employers organization. They've got a package. We've got a package from Agri South Africa where people can belong to, that they can contribute to a pension fund as well as funeral and death coverage. So we've got those issues. And we contribute towards it. And the farmer also contributes half of that cost to this fund. Esther, Mr. Piku. You wanted me to ask Esther at the moratorium on evictions. Why is evictions so common? What I said about the Esther Act, Esther is actually controlling and regulating evictions. And that is actually a moratorium. Because if you evict illegally, there's a legal course where the person that can go to, and obviously we've heard this morning that there's faults and flaws in it, but there is a course. And I think I cannot stand in for other people who do not do their job. But what we're just saying, it is a regulatory act which is in place to regulate evictions. And that is what we say. Okay, I agree with you. People should get their own land. I'll ask it to you. And that was my whole plea through my argument this morning. Let people have their own property, right? Whether it be a house or a house in an agri village or a farm, that is much better to be sitting on another person's property and in the end haven't got the permanent rights on that. Because it's not a permanent right. I think that is fine. The pie monster. Now, I think Annelies will elaborate on the pie legislation because she's the expert on it. Facilitate land acquisition. I think I will also ask you because I'm not going to answer all the issues myself, Mr. Blali. Again, concerns about pie. I think that Annelies will handle it. Eviction stats. I think we've done that. I don't have to repeat it. The horrible issues are reported. Obviously, I agree with horrible issues. If issues are reported, which is horrible, we absolutely are not agreeing and in agreement with that type of behavior. We really don't want to see it in future because it also harms the image of the sector. And I think people try and go, most of the farmers go out of their way to act humanely, act within the act, whether it's a labor legislation or any other act of parliament. We try to, and that is our position, we encourage our members to comply to it. I don't think that is applicable to me. Yourself, Mr. Chairman, what did you ask me? Action against members. I think I've actually answered you on that issue, that we do not want our members to act outside the law. Obviously, I must just mention this. You said about persons dragging people behind the bucket. You know, the press and the communications can set a image of what is happening out there, but it wasn't a farmer, let's be quite honest with you, and I think we've stated it and we've rejected this type of behavior, but it wasn't a farmer, so why must the farming community drag that get that burden around its neck? It was corrected afterwards by the media, but it wasn't a farmer, it was a contractor in Sasolburg somewhere. So I really try to, if I can just ask you to really distinguish between what is actually attributed to farmers and what is not.
And respond to those that have quoted with farmers.
We responded to it, John.
People have been mistaken for some animals and be shot by farmers.
Well, that was before the court. I think we also stressed ourselves and expressed ourselves against that type of behavior. Then that's it. But the court case was heard, and I think, I don't know even what the outcome was, but it was definitely brought to court, but we rejected that type of behavior, and we were also in full condolence with the people that suffered that loss.
Even farmers who refuse the farm workers to be buried on the farms, they stay in mortuaries for 9 months.
We really try to and so every
the point,
time.
The point about Mr. Bosman is that we want, as I was saying, you to consider yourself as partners again.
Obviously.
And therefore, you must be heard, you know, on this matter.
Every time that the farmer phones me to ask him what is the position about burial rights, then I advise him to have the people buried on his farm. If there is a facility, that is what the act says. There's a health hazard as well. You cannot just bury people anywhere. That is our position, because it's a human thing. And I have funerals on my farm just about every week. So what is the real issue about it? There's no real issue about it. But there are people that are objecting. If people come from outside, they haven't lived on that farm for many years, and they want to be buried on the farm. We can't see the reason for that, and the act is quite clear on it. The person must be living on that farm, and you must have been working, you must have been living on the farm at the time of death. So that is quite clear. I mean, there's no argument around it. And if a person wants to not allow that, then he's wrong. And I quite strongly advise them to keep within the act as far as that is concerned.
So what we'll do,
let me just ask you a trivial last thing. I think a lot of these acquisitions, we always ask in the provinces, my representatives in the province, bring us the cases as soon as possible. It doesn't help to come and tell me 5 years ago this happened. I cannot do anything about it. But if there is a eviction now, and we've gone through all our provinces, and in each and every province, we try to keep record of it, and it must be reported to us. And if there is assistance that we can render to solve that problem, we do it. Amicably, we do it as far as possible. And I think Mr. Thierry Jager is actually on the ground. He works with it daily, and he advises the people of the correct procedures as well, as far as that is concerned. But, you know, even we call for the reporting of these cases, we do not get cases reported to us. But we ourselves are not a policing issue. Somebody must report it to me, then I can act on it.
Yeah. Maybe before CEO you add, I just got the request from the department. We've got flood problems, and the minister as well, the deputy minister. I'll start with the deputy minister, Daniel.
Listen,
if you don't have a flight problem.
Yeah, Chairman, we've got a flight. you and myself would leave within 5 minutes, otherwise you're going to be late.
Okay. So we've got lunch for you and so on. You know, we do not need that host. But otherwise, okay. Yeah. Phil?
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I welcome your call for a partnership on this. But there's a bit of history behind this partnership. I think the notion that we have about 2.8 to 3 million people living on farms means that we are about 40,000 commercial farmers in South Africa. There's an average of 75 people per commercial farmer. And remember, welfare is not even our core business. To address this problem, we need an imaginative solution. And that solution cannot be only thrashed out here in Parliament. We have to take that thing down to grassroots level, to local forums. We should embed it within the municipalities, most probably in the IDP system one of the committees. And I don't think the capacity is there at this stage. But we have to start somewhere. Farm workers is really the saddest part of the story of land reform up to now. If it was my job to do the redistribution of land and the reconstruction of the agricultural sector as such, I would have started with those guys. They are the people with the experience and who have grown up on farms. I can only be here today because back on the farm There's a farm worker who's been with me for many years, and he's a better farmer than me. But they are not the ones to benefit from land reform up to this stage. The people with the experience do not get the land. They are actually doomed to live on somebody else's land and to farm for what it's worth on that land. And this is what we need to address. Firstly, what we have done to make land available. I'm going to quote you one example in the Limpopo. At this stage, we have 422 farms on our books, which our members made available. Unfortunately, the majority of them has got land claims on it. More than half of those have not been gazetted yet. As long as there is a land claim on the land, it is out of reach for any other form of land reform. Some of these that's been gazetted, has been gazetted for more than 6 years now. We have willing sellers who have accepted the office in 2004 and never heard from the department again. We have a forum in which we thrash out these kind of problems. The commission walked out of that forum, decided not to discuss anything, not even the availability to discuss particular problems. The other part of the Department of Land Reform, the one dealing with redistribution, formally broke all communications with organized agriculture, both ourselves and SALSA, because we dared to testify in a disciplinary action or in disciplinary investigation against them. Now, without communication, how are we going to bring this partnership about? We made proposal on a joint venture, along with our premier, our NEC, the banks, the agribusinesses. That was in February 2006, and up to now, we've had no communication back. We've not been involved in one single joint venture or post-settlement dispensation on any of the farms that's been transferred. That's why the department had to take back 71 farms in our province, because they've been badly neglected. There's no such thing as white farmers living this side and black farmers living the other side. Now, in real life, we are living on the same land. We are so dependent on each other. We've never in our lifetimes been apart. I think there is an artificial kind of polarization going on here. In many of these commodities, such as forestry, you are dependent, for example, for firefighting, for fire breaks and so, on your neighbors. And there's no way, in all due respect to the Department of Agriculture and Land Affairs, there's no way in which government can do the transformation needed in agriculture. Government does not have the capacity to take new entrants into the agricultural sector by the hand and teach them to farm. Either we are going to do it in the sector, or it's not going to be done. And I'm afraid there is not enough trust and not enough open communication at this stage to forge this partnership which you are calling for. So maybe we have started at the wrong place. Maybe we have started at the top and tried to make it work downwards. Maybe we should start at the bottom and try to work upwards. Thank you, sir.
Let me take the department. Thanks, Sia.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'm an Anglican, and when the priest, yours, the parishioner is to go to the altar and admit your sins. So I will say that if we have done things wrongly in this particular function, we will accept that we have been responsible for some of those things. But let me say that one of the challenges that we have noted in this department is that some of the evictions happen without any of the officials knowing. when I spoke to, it was myself, minister and others, when we spoke to the judge president, even the land claims court is not aware of some of these cases. They are reported to the magistrate court, and even the judge himself, judge president, was not happy with some of the decisions at the level of the magistrate court. And they have been saying that this is one of the challenges that they, as the land claims court, have noted around the issue of evictions. So the challenge then is that it is a matter of human relations on farms, sometimes of which the department could not be aware. But what we are saying is that it is a weakness for the department not to be proactive around some of these things in terms of estimating and responding quickly and safely. Over the past year, what we have done is to try to look at the response rate, at the responsiveness of the department once the case has been reported. But those that have not been reported, it is difficult to take charge of as the department. You will note that when we talk about these evictions, we talk about the legal evictions and the illegal evictions. The legal evictions are those that go to court, and sometimes they go to court without the officials of the department having been aware of those cases, and therefore legal representation has not been prepared for those. So what we have done is we have had a meeting between the two ministers, the two DGs, between Department of Justice and Land Affairs, to discuss the mechanism of how we can strengthen and fast-track legal representation of all the people that are there. So that meeting has agreed on the support system. And then secondly, linked to that, we are saying that we are allocating resources towards this. Because some of the issues that have been raised around the legal aid board, which we have been using before, have been that the rates are not as attractive, and sometimes the expertise that could have been used may not be the expertise that the landowners would have used when they take the matter to court. And within a short period, that the legal representative of the affected parties have to respond, it's very short. So we are saying that we are looking at the response, at improving on the response rate. The issue of enforcing the law. I think when we do this review and have that legal service panel, we think we are going to be able to do that once we build on that capacity. It must be said that one of the experiences has been that if the case has been well prepared, most of the cases have been won by the people who have been evicted, such that that evictions could not go through. One of the reasons why this alternative arrangement or accommodation is not awarded. One of the issues that the judge was raising was that because it is not the jurisdiction of the magistrates to deal with the type of legislation, sometimes they may not be able or to look at the full implications of the legislation that is there. So there may be that loophole because of that. So what they were suggesting was that we need to talk about it and see how we can deal with those weaknesses in this system so that there should be no loopholes such as this one. So we hope that this will be addressed through this panel, which is going to assist us. The issue of the ESTA legislation, we have talked about it. And it is clear that on this matter, nothing, we have not presented anything which talks about the Labor Tenancy Act and the ESTA review. And I must admit that on this one, we have failed the public. But we are working on policy review. One of those areas that we have looked at was, for example, on the willing buyer, willing seller review, and on the expropriation bill review. We are working closely with the Department of Public Works to fast track that. In fact, we are working on the drafting of the expropriation bill, which actually is one of the instruments which are within these pieces of legislation. Yes, it has been legislation has been tabled before cabinet, and the willing buyer, willing seller has also been tabled before cabinet. So we are positive that we are in the step in the right direction towards reviewing this. On the issue of the policy on the moratorium on evictions, we have supported the call that there should be this moratorium. What we have been saying is that it is on the grounds, on humanitarian grounds, that has been the message that has been coming, that it should be on humanitarian grounds. In other words, evictions must be considered in the human spirit, that people should not be thrown out to be homeless and to have no place for shelter. In the area of legislation, we have said that we would have to follow due processes around that that legislation, and the review of legislation is the one that would cover some of these areas. On the question of sustainable human settlements, this LARP program that we are talking about, it was interesting when we went to Northern Cape about a month ago. We handed over land there. In fact, it was about three months ago. We handed over land in the Northern Cape to 10 farmers, to 10 farm workers. Those 10 farm workers are working on grapes, and they are working on that land, and we are saying that the LARP program is going to focus on farm dwellers and farm workers. And when we implement the proactive land acquisition strategy, this is where we would like to direct our proactive land acquisition strategy, to focus on the poor. In other words, when the implementation of LARP must be pro-poor. The land acquisition under LARP must be pro-poor. And our target is the farm dwellers and the farm workers. And we're saying, in KZN, in the Sahel area, we have acquired land, and they are assisting specifically these people who are farm workers. In the Eastern Cape, around the Grahamstown area, we have acquired land about 3,000 hectares with about more than 200 cattle. And those farm workers who are there on that farm, about 10 families who are farm workers on that land, that is the direction we're trying to go. In Cape Town, in the Western Cape, we have handed over a farm to farm workers in this area. So what we are saying is that these are examples of the new directions that we are taking in order to address some of these issues. So our land acquisition strategies should be focusing on farm workers and farm dwellers, other than the other programs, which is restitution and redistribution. On the question of these sustainable settlements, we agree with Nkuz. In fact, it's very interesting that Theresa was working for this unit in the Department of Land Affairs. So we've got a better partner in Nkuz in terms of dealing with these farm issues. We've got a better partner in Nkuz as an organization in dealing with some of these issues, because they know some of these issues. So around the sustainable settlements, what we are saying is that we are not talking about small enclavements of black people in some of the areas along the homeland township homeland approaches. But what we are talking is precisely what Nkuzi has explained in their response around this, that we want people, if they are not in the workplace on the farm that they are working for, they must be home in that very area. So the best way to do that is to get their own farm in that area, so that they can have a place that they call home instead of stay off residing on somebody else's farm to depend on that person. So this is not establishing new areas, new settlements, but it's saying that these people who are not employed, who are no longer employed, do have a place that they call home. I think the LARP responds to the land availability question, that we are working very hard in that area to address that. I think, Chairperson, let me stop there to say that if the people who run this program, as well as the Deputy Minister, have got a response, they can add to what I've just said. Thanks, Chairperson. The Acting DG has responded to some of the questions. There was a point that was made by AgriSA about land that is available. It links to Honorable Fego's question about how to acquire land. We have put particular targets. I think it must be stressed that the department can buy as much land as the money that is allocated to it. If we were to focus, for instance, on what Mr. Bosman was saying, I think it's important that he locates that within the context of the willing buyer, willing seller program. I think it is going to be very, very difficult to just go and buy 400 farms in Zimbabwe at one go without looking specifically at all the necessary processes that must be followed. There was an issue of honorable people around enforcement. I think the acting DG has touched on it. I want to say that I think it may have created an impression that it is only now with this legal finance that we are going to be providing legal representation. I think as far back since the promulgation of EFRA and the Labour Tenant Act, there has been legal representation at some point provided by the legal aid board. But we have said that has not been sufficient. I think even recently we have been using our internal departmental procedures to appoint attorneys. It's not like there's been an absolute vacuum. In fact, as a matter of fact, Chair, we gave to the Rural Legal Trust, the partners of Nkunzi, 5 million rand this last year as part of the process of providing legal representation. We are creating this panel so that we have something much more stable, something that we have appropriate skills so that we can provide the services. The question you asked, Chair, was how much money we've set aside. We've set aside 32 million rand for this particular initiative so that there is proper legal representation and mediation services to these people. The issue raised by Honorable Abraham and Zali around the recycling, I can share only present facts. What was presented here was first time presented by the Minister in her budget speech last year, for the first time, not in previous years. The statistics about the spread and concentration of farm workers, it was a collaborative study that we did with social surveys with Theresa Yates while she was working there. We completed that exercise last year, so it's not recycling. Including the mediation and service finance, it is something that we've been talking to Nkunzi and other organizations from last year. It was presented for the first time to the select committee last year in August, and we're presenting it to this committee. So it's not something that has been recycled from 2003. I think there are specific cases with regard to the case in Limpopo which must definitely follow up, where matters have been reported to the department and nothing was done. We can only say we'll take that up and with respective offices. The question by Nkosi Holomisa is what are we doing about engaging housing and other government departments? Obviously, the department at a local level, through the IGC process of municipalities, engages all other government departments. Including the Department of Housing. We've agreed with the Department of Housing through their housing policy that land affairs will acquire land for housing development and housing will build the houses. We have got that understanding with the Department of Housing. I think, Chair, I will stop at that unless there are specific questions that we left unanswered. The question of the details, we can come back to Honorable Holomisa to say how many farm dwellers have benefited from the land acquired today. We do not have that information with us. We can provide it to Honorable Holomisa.
The issue of land evictable of that.
I'm sure Teresa can help me with this. The department did way back, I think it was 2003 or 2002, look at this legislation. Of possibly coming up with a particular legislation. I think the legal opinion within the department at that time was that it would be unconstitutional to go that particular route, and hence that particular exercise was shelved. It is a bill that had been drafted, but it didn't go that far to come to the committee for consideration.
I can give you my lawyer. He'll give you a better legal advice. Mr. Makubule?
Our concern, maybe it's to say one, we are happy today that we are speaking to the people who participate in making some of the laws. Our feeling as NAP is that most of the legislation has favored the white farmer. That's why we are where we are, because there is some tendency to protect them. I'm just saying that in passing, if we are to unload that, we will do that. And I'm saying to people here who are doing those kind of things, so as people who are recipients of some of the things that are taken. The second thing is that our concern is, we are concerned about the fact that we are in Africa. And being in Africa, Africa said at the Maputo Declaration, 10% must be given to agriculture. As black farmers and the poorest of the poor have never been able to benefit through the resources. If you think of the villages back home, people that can call them by name, you know, our mothers and fathers down there have not been able to. So that concerns us. I know it's not talking the issue of eviction. You talked about the issue of partnership. We have tried to get in partnership with some of our white counterparts. But the reality is that they use double standards. And I'm sorry that Mr. Laurie Bosman is not here. They will talk partnership this side, from the front, at the back. They are busy reorganizing, doing certain things. And because we don't have resources, which they have, and the resources that they have, some of them, they have been subsidized by the previous government to be where they are today. Have NAFU, have black farmers. Yes, we appreciate that the government buys farms for us, but we are struggling to be able to survive. And that creates a problem. And we hope that hopefully, out of this meeting, we will be able to address some of those things. Baba Kwan.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, the issue of Cordesa. Thank you, Baba, that you picked up that issue. It's a serious issue. We would really want the portfolio committee to help us to look into that.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Joe Gondo, as the Mbangula said. My problem is that it's the first time that I come here to meet the portfolio committee and so on. I only see them on TV many times, talking, putting things together. But I don't understand what you're doing. Because if you put the law and nobody follows it, what do you do? Here they're saying there is a moratorium on eviction, but it continues. Then what? And then what? If a white farmer evicts a person illegally, the sheriff comes and moves him out, or move those people out. But if he is illegally evicted, nobody comes. The government is in there, land affairs is in there, the sheriff is in there.
Why?
They go to court. They go to court. No, nobody listens.
But you there.
What are you doing?
Our government is weak now. I'm telling you. If you look at the other countries, what is actually happening, and you compare with what we are doing here. I'm sorry to tell you that we
do accept that we are failing. If you fail, what do you do next? For 18 years.
I think comrades, I'm very much worried because I am also part of
I think what we need is Nafu must show us the best models of non-fiction and all that.
Yeah, but
Mr. Rogue, then Minister, Deputy Minister with Close, we don't have all the time that exists.
Thank you, Voorzitter. Daar is vanoggend een groot waarheid gespreek deur die eerbare lid hier reg oor my.
Great truth was spoken by the honorable person sitting right across from me.
En dit is dat die simptome word aangespreek en nie die oorsaak van die probleem nie.
And that is that we are only addressing the symptoms but not the root of the evil.
PLESA erken dat daar wel plaasuitsettings is, maar soos ons gesê het, ons verwerp enige onwettige uitsettings.
The TAU recognizes that there are evictions, but as I've said before, we regret or reject any illegal evictions.
Daar is spesifieke redes wanneer daar uitsettings plaasvind.
There are specific reasons why some evictions do take place.
En ons sê ook dat het is jammer dat het wel moet gebeur omdat die oorsaak van die probleme nie aangespreek word.
And we also say we regret that this has to take place because the root of the problem is not being addressed.
Daar is ook verder aangespreek die feit dat die grond nie beskikbaar is om mense op te plaas.
Further fact that was mentioned is that not enough land is available to house the people, to locate the people who are being evicted.
Hier sit 'n sprekende voorbeeld van iemand wat grond reeds 3 jaar gelede aan die staat aangebied het en tot vandag toe nog nie 'n resultaat nie.
Here's a living example of a person who 3 years ago offered land to the government and yet up to date nothing has happened.
18 maande gelede is dit vir my toe meegedeel dat daar 'n resitusie eis op die grond is.
And 18 months ago I was informed that there's a restitution claim relating to that land,
maar dit is nog nooit gepubliseer nie.
But this has not yet been published.
Met ooreenkomste met die met grond departement van grondsake is daar gekontak gemaak.
Contact was made with the Department of Land Affairs.
Ons het die betrokke eis ondersoek.
We investigated the relevant claim.
En dit is gebleik dat daar nie 'n wettige eis is nie, dat die eis op die buurplaas was.
And it transpired that there was no legal claim to the land, but that in fact the claim related to the neighboring farm.
Tot en met vandag is daar nog nie 'n verdediger aangestel deur die staat nie en hulle stel belang om die grond te koop, daarom is die grond nog nie verkoop.
Wat is
nie
aangestel? Up to now, no evaluator has been appointed for the land.
Dat is daar nog geen aanbod nie.
And no offer has been made.
Dit is gebeur nie net in my geval nie, maar in baie ander gevalle en in ekonomiese omstandighede moet boere voortgaan met of die produksie op daardie plase of dit dan aan ander persone verkoop wat dan uit die hande van die staat val.
This has not only occurred in my case but in many other cases, and for economical reasons the farmer has to go on, either he has to keep on producing on the land or he has to sell it to somebody else, which means that that land is then not available to the state anymore.
As die staat
meer productief en effectief gaan wees deur die departement van grondsake om wel beskikbare grond beskikbaar te kry, is daar ook mentorskappe wat deur ons toegepas word vir die bestaande arbeid wat op die plase is.
If the Department of Land Affairs would be more productive and more efficient in performing their role, then there would also be mentorships available, which we would make available to the farm laborers on those farms.
Die verdere kwestie wat geoffer is, is swart rug en sy aangeleentheid. Ek is nie heeltemal self op hoogte presies wat gebeur het daar nie.
The swart rug en sy matter was also raised. I'm not quite in the picture as to what transpired there, what happened there.
Maar TLES verwerp die gebeure in sy geheel. Ons kan nie daarmee saamstem nie.
But the TAU reject what has happened there as a whole, and we regret it, and we cannot support it.
Die vraag is net weer, is dit net ook een van die oorsake van die probleem wat ontstaan het daar, en dan het dit 'n respons gehad nie, ek weet nie.
And the question once again is, what was the root cause of that problem, and was this maybe an effect of something else, and I don't know.
Wat pensioenfondse, voorsorgfondse aanbetref, is ons ook betrokke. TLESA het ook 'n fonds, en daar is by baie van ons lede reeds dit in plek gestel, 'n pensioen en 'n begrafnisdekkingfonds.
As far as pension funds and provident funds are is concerned, the TAU has such funds, and we support the idea, and there is also a pension fund and a funeral fund which has been established.
Dit word verder deur die lede op 'n 50% basis ook bygedra tot die aftrek word.
And the members contribute to the tune of 50% to a debit order
as well as employer.
And the employer as well, 50%.
I thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chair, and I would gladly stand aside for her to say. But I think what was clear from the members of Parliament, well, most of the members of Parliament, is that we have to rethink this and change our strategy fundamentally. If we look at the results of the ETA, which is basically supposed to secure tenure, but it's only doing it in a very restricted fashion, the methodology is a technique to manage rights. It's good. We must acknowledge and protect human rights. But it hasn't much to do with the redistribution of capital assets. It is a bit in the law. But the data, for example, we need extensive data to really manage of every single person living on a farm. And we must make it compulsory that you can't give in your tax form unless you have provided this type of data. But I think the point is this, that the agricultural problem in South Africa is a political problem, and the political problem is a land problem. But, and that is what we have to address. We seem the net result of the ESTA type of methodology is which was in fact part of the whole settlement idea in South Africa. And I'm not making excuses, because the department is functioning better in the recent past than it did. Well, better. And I'll protect them in that sense. But of course, that's not nearby where we must reach in the bigger vision of South Africa, It cannot be regarded just as an employment problem, the land issue. It has led and has come, is one of the big contributors to massive acquisition and concentration. We can't leave it at that. Listen, it is not just an employment problem. It is the political problem which history has provided us with in South Africa. And we have to get a new strategy. And that is a political solution which the majority party will have to provide. That is their task. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Thank you, members. Obviously, as a committee, we'll have to come back to this question. And I think there are some glaring issues that we'll have to basically tease out and then deal with. For instance, this issue about humanitarian moratorium, you know. So I think as a committee, must be clear about that particular point. The issue about the non-evictable occupants and so on, and a whole range of issues that have got to do with both legal and illegal evictions. But most importantly, isn't it about time that we review SA itself and the extent to which its internal objectives and practical experience, you know, articulate with each other, and see whether there is no need to have new interventions. So, members, the lunch is ready. I know. Yes.
Yes, thank you. The Uma Malo Nitwano and I forget the name of the other gentleman. They've got specifically cases that require that as the portfolio committee we do or say something about. My suggestion would be that the department must be instructed to attend to those particular problems and within a given space of time come and report to us.
Not dangerous. Yeah. Thanks, Chief. Let's leave that matter, Shabani. Those specific cases that have been reported and all that. This large in old assembly, Max Building rather, we normally eat the Max Building, it's a sit-down lunch. So obviously I have to come back to this issue. I could not take all of you back again, and the women in farms who are here as well, and I acknowledge and appreciate your presence. If I controlled all these watches, I would have given you time to speak. But otherwise, it's beyond my capacity. But otherwise, be pleased to join us for lunch. Thank you.
Yeah. Are you going to go to the next?